Welcome to the Story Church podcast. We're so glad you're here. We hope today's word inspires and challenges you wherever you're listening from.
What's going on, Story Church? This is Pastor Truth, Pastor Emmanuel. All of y'all call me something different. It's all good. Listen, I hate the fact that I'm not there with you all today, but it's for good reason. I am currently in Dallas, Texas at the International Leadership Conference. I know that sounds really, it actually is all of that though. I'm at the International Leadership Conference with Bishop T.D. Jakes. And the good thing about the fact that I'm not there and I'm here is that I'm getting the opportunity to take in all of this good teaching, all of these breakout sessions, all of these seminars, absorb it, and then bring it back to you, my family at Story Church. So anyway, man, I hate that I'm not there, but I'm not there for good reason, and I can't wait to get back so I can pour into you the things that are being poured into me. Well, as many of you know, we are in a series talking about provision. Provision is a big deal. It's a big, big deal because it has to do with what we need. And we need so much from a monetary perspective. We need things. We need resources. We need capital. We need finances, physically, emotionally, physiologically, in every single area of life, across the entire spectrum of life, we have great needs. And so we're oftentimes asking God to meet those needs. And we trust that He will. We trust that He can. We trust that He is provider, which is what we will talk about, which is what we've been talking about in this series. And so, I am excited about today's message just because I'm getting the opportunity to wrap it up. I'm getting the opportunity to kind of bring this thing to a close. Pastor Sam has been incredible. Somebody make some noise for Apostle Sam. Make some noise for Apostle Sam, who is in the building. Apostle Sam has been amazing. The first 2 weeks, he just talked so much about human responsibility. You know, we're asking God to provide certain things for us, yet we're not putting in the work. He talked about how, you know, we're petitioning God to provide things for us, yet we're not being disciplined, yet we're not being diligent, yet we're not considering the ant. The Bible says, consider the ant who stores up in the spring, to prepare for the winter. He says, listen, you gotta do the basics. You gotta do something. You got to put your hand to the plow. You can't just ask God to provide and, you know, be irresponsible with your time and be lazy and all the things. And so praise God for Apostle Sam, who was just giving us that push. He's pushing us so that we can reach our full capacity, reach our full potential. And then I am grateful to just come alongside of Apostle Sam and just expand the conversation and open it up a bit more and just talk about provision a little bit beyond the monetary space, beyond human responsibility. And I just want to talk about some of the tension that we wrestle with when it comes to this issue of provision, because there is oftentimes a middle space. There's oftentimes this waiting period between the time in which God makes a promise to us and the time in which God actually provides for us. There's a time in which God makes a promise for us, and then there's a time in which God actually makes the provisions for us. And right in the middle of that is the most difficult space to exist in. Therein lies the tension. Therein lies the wrestle. Last week, we talked a little bit about Kanye West's recent interview. And the interview was actually pretty fascinating, as usual. Whenever you're watching Kanye West, it's always multi-layered and always a lot of nuance and a lot of things to kind of grapple with. And even the statement that he made that I'm going to tell you in a second was something that I think we should wrestle with. But I do believe that there's something about his statement that should kind of give us pause. And it's something about his statement that should kind of compel us to wrestle a little bit. One of the things that Kanye West said in the interview is he said, you know what? I take issue with Jesus. Now, I'm personally, I am an apologist, which means I take no issue with anybody who wrestles with God. I think, this is what we see, throughout the scriptures. We see people wrestling with God. We see Abraham when God tells him that he's going to destroy Sodom. Abraham is negotiating with God and he says, listen, if it's 50, would you spare them? And God said, well, of course I will. And he said, well, what about if there's 40? Would you spare them? God said, of course I will. And Abraham went all the way down to, well, what if there's just 5? Would you spare them? And God said, of course I will. I love that story. I love those kind of stories because they give us a picture of how God is not anti-negotiation. creation, that God will deliberate with us, that God will wrestle with us. In fact, the Bible says in one chapter that God said, come, let us reason together. I love that language when it comes to God, because we often think of God as a dictator. We often think of God as always just dropping the hammer and making the final decision, which obviously he ultimately does make a ton of executive decisions, but not always. Sometimes God is in the business of negotiating. And so I don't have a problem with the wrestle. I don't have a problem with the tension. The Bible says that the angel of the Lord wrestled with Jacob until the point in which he broke Jacob's hip. And that brought him to a place of humility, where he went from being Jacob to being Israel. And so I love the idea that we get the opportunity to wrestle with God, to negotiate with God, to deliberate with God. There's a beauty in that to me. And so I have no problem with the wrestle when he says, I take issue with God. I don't have a problem with that. But then he goes on to say this. He says, the reason why I have an issue with God is because I asked him for so many things and he did not show up for me. One of the reasons why I love what Kanye West said is because he is echoing the sentiments of so many others. The truth of the matter is that many of us, and I even went through a season of that, have wrestled with this idea of when I asked God to provide for me, he didn't come through. What do you do when you've done all that you know to do, yet God still fails to come through? What do you do when you've done all that you know to do, but God still decides to not come through? So I think Kanye West is getting at something here. However, I also believe that he probably just has a misunderstanding of how some of this works, how the economy of God works, how prayer actually works. And so last week we talked a little bit about this, and I just want to reiterate, because I think it's important that prayer is not just about rubbing the genie lamp and getting God to bow down to our demands and bow down to our commands. In fact, it's the exact opposite. Prayer is a space where we get to make our request known to God. We don't go to God with our demands. We go to God with our request. It says, make your request known unto God, and the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind. So I think it's important to understand that prayer is not just about making demands and God come to the rescue, or make a demand and God do what you say do. Do you know how many people throughout the course of history have stories where they have petitioned God to do something for them and he didn't come through for them? But the beautiful thing about him not coming through for them was what was on the other side of it. Woo, this is so beautiful. I mean, there's so many tragedies throughout the course of history where God didn't come through, but what the person could not see was the beauty on the other side of it. When God did not repair the situation, when God did not fix the situation, when God did not come to the rescue when you wanted him to. But and oftentimes you feel like God is being cruel. If God is a loving God and an all-powerful God, why would he allow for bad things to happen to good people? Why would he allow for bad things to happen to innocent people? And this is a complex question that obviously we don't have the time to unravel or unpack in this moment, but the truth of the matter is that in some instances, God will allow worst case scenarios to take place because of what we, for to produce something that we can't see. And we don't know what those things are. The Bible says that Jesus endured the crisis of the cross for the joy that was set before him. So look, you got a crisis, the cross. This is the worst type of execution, the worst type of death that anybody could have experienced, especially an innocent man. And the Bible says that he endured the crisis of this cross, or of the cross, for the joy that was set before him. It was the thing that he couldn't see on the other side of the crisis that was beautiful. And what was the thing that he couldn't see? Or what was the thing that the people who were responsible for it couldn't see? Or the people who were watching couldn't see? Or the disciples couldn't see? Because the Bible says that they ran in fear the moment that Jesus was crucified. They ran in fear back to the upper room thinking it's over. But the thing that they could not see was the joy on the other side. And the joy on the other side was us. That's what they couldn't see. The joy, the crisis, he endured the crisis of the cross for the joy that was set before him. And the joy that was set before him was the joy of our salvation. That's the beauty of it. You can't oftentimes see the reason for which God will not provide something, rescue you, fix it. But the reason why is because of what's on the other side that he knows, but we don't. And so I think it's vitally important for us to understand this concept that we don't go making our demands. And the reason why we don't go making demands is because we have no idea of what the future holds. All things are working together for the good of them who are the called according to his purpose. That we cannot see what all the things are that he's working together. That these are the things that are unique, and germane to the mind of God. These are the mysteries that we're just not privy to. We can't see it. We can't forecast it. We can't put our finger on it. But this is why when we're in the middle, it's important for us to just be patient and wait. And this is what I want to focus on today for the next 10 minutes. I want to focus on the importance of waiting. When you're in between the promise God made to you and the time in which he provides, what do you do? When you're in between the time in which God makes a promise and the time in which the promise is actualized, what do? You wait. And how do you wait? You wait patiently. Why does God make us wait? We talked about this a little bit. Timing. God is always on schedule. He's always looking at his watch. He's up because God is a strategist. We talked about this. Timing and training. We talked about that last week. Those are two reasons why God makes us wait. And this is what we didn't get to last week. What does it mean to wait? What does it mean to wait? Waiting is the most difficult thing because of all the noise that surrounds it. There's noise internally. There's noise externally. Waiting is the most difficult thing because of what the angst and the anxiety that we feel within our souls and within our spirits when we're in the middle of it. There is nothing more frustrating. There is nothing more aggravating. There's nothing more confusing than just standing in the middle. This is why Israel struggled so badly when they were in the wilderness, because they were in the middle. They were in between. They had a promise. The promise was the promised land, Canaan. But because they were in the wilderness, they were in a barren land. They were in desert. The promise was when they were in Egypt, the promise was you're going to go into the promised land. And in their minds, I would imagine they're thinking they're going directly from Egypt right into the promised land. Yet in between the time that they were in Egypt and the time that they made it to the promised land, they had to walk through the desert. They had to walk through the barrenness of the wilderness where there's danger, where the weather is unfavorable, where they had to be led miraculously by pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night, even if it was just to warm them, or even if it was just so that they can see because it was dark and cold and barren. It's in the middle. It's in the wilderness. I heard one person say, and I love this, that this person said that it's in our brokenness that we get to know God, and it's in the wilderness that we get to know ourselves. I love that. They said it's in our brokenness that we get to know God, and it's in the wilderness that we get to know ourselves. It's in the middle. This is why God allows for us to live in that tension just for a little while, because it's in the middle that we're even coming to an understanding of who we are, what our capacity is, what our capabilities are, what our tendencies are, what our inclinations are, who we are at the core, what our areas of brokenness are, what our strengths are. This is where we learn not just God, but we learn ourselves in the tension. What does it mean to wait? It means, simply put, to be patient. It means, I love this in Hebrews. He says, run the race that is set before you. I love that. But he actually doesn't just say run the race that's set before you. That's typically what we say he said. He actually says run with patience the race that is set before you. And I love that. Run with patience. It feels paradoxical, doesn't it? Run with patience. a lack of motion. It doesn't mean that you're not moving. Stillness just means you're not taking matters into your own hands. That's all. Stillness means this is the moment in which I go. This is the moment in which I say, I've done all that I could possibly do. The rest is up to you. Does that make sense, y'all? Listen, he said that I've done all that I could possibly do. The rest is up to you. I love this, but because stillness is the equivalent, the way that I think about it is, it is the difference between kayaking and sailing. See, when I'm doing my due diligence, when I'm considering the ant and I'm being diligent and I'm being disciplined and I'm not being lazy, when I'm doing my due diligence, when I'm filling out applications and I'm showing up to job interviews, when I'm doing my due diligence, that's kayaking. You see what I mean? That's kayaking. He says, but at some point, once you've done all that you can, Donnie McClurk has said it, didn't he? He said, when you've done all that you can, stay, watch this. He said, once you've done all that you possibly can do, you take your hands off the oars and you allow for the winds of the providence of God to blow your sail. There is a time in which you go from kayaking to sailing, and sailing is stillness. And the reason why it's stillness is because you're not doing anything. You're almost just along for the ride. But the fact that you're not doing anything doesn't mean that you're not moving. Oof, I love this. This, when you think about an escalator or an elevator, you're being still oftentimes on an elevator. You're being still oftentimes on an escalator, but you're still moving. I love the fact that when you are being still, there's still movement. God is still moving you towards your provision. God is still moving you towards repair. God is still moving you towards wholeness. God is still moving. However, you are being still. Waiting is one of the most difficult things in the world, though, because you don't have control. That's the bottom line. The moment that you have to take your hands off the oars, you know, when you have your hands on the oars, when you're kayaking, you can determine which direction you're going. You can determine when you want to slow down, when you want to speed up. You can stop in the middle of the ocean or the river or whatever. You can. There's so much control you have when it's just you. Because he could not wait. Israel struggled with this when Moses was taken too long after he had gone up into the mountaintop in order to receive the commandments from God. Because he was taken too long, they had crafted for themselves an idol, a golden calf. That's because that's what they were familiar with, having come from Egypt, because that's what you do when you're in the process of waiting and things are not moving fast enough for you. You just revert back to whatever God delivered you from. So Israel struggled with it. They struggled with waiting at the foot of the mountain for Moses. Abraham or Sarah struggled with it a bit because it was just taking too long. It took 25 years between the time in which God told them that they would give birth to the promised seed and the time that it actually happened. That 25 years, man, can you imagine? 25 hours is really long. Can you imagine 25 years after year 10? Sarah's like, nah, we got to do something. I don't know. I know we heard God, but I don't know if we heard God. And even if we heard God, we're just going to go ahead and do this and see what happens. That's me sometimes. I'm like, I'm just going to go ahead and do this thing and we're just going to see how it all pans out. I'm a huge risk taker. Abraham struggled with this. Sarah struggled with it. Israel struggled with it. Saul struggled with this. Samuel told Saul, listen, I'm going to Gilgal for 7 days. He says, when I come back, I'm going to make a burnt offering unto the Lord, because they were actually in battle at the time. And he says, Saul, you wait for me to come back before we sacrifice or make a sacrifice unto the Lord, which was a burnt offering. Saul waited for 7 days. He did wait the 7 days, but Samuel had not yet arrived. And when Samuel had not yet arrived, the Bible says that the people got antsy. Same thing happened at the foot of the mountain with Israel and Aaron. The people got antsy and Aaron gave into the people. Oh, that's a whole message in and of itself. Aaron gave into the peer pressure. Aaron gave into the social pressure. Aaron gave into, and as a consequence and as a result of the pressure, the external pressure that they felt from the outside, they ended the leadership ended up, we can't get into all of this. So Israel struggled with it. They made a golden calf. They struggled with waiting. Saul struggled with waiting. And so he went ahead and he made an unsanctioned sacrifice unto the Lord. Abraham and Sarah wrestled with it. And so they had a son that was not in the plan of God. Some would say an illegitimate son. And so every time any and everybody went outside of the waiting period, there was always grave consequences. It pays to wait when you're in the middle. Stop it. And the Bible says that in the moment that he went to make the sacrifice of his son, he looked to the left and he saw a ram in the bush, a ram in the thicket. He says, don't sacrifice him. Sacrifice this ram instead. Now, this prefigures the crucifixion of Christ. The Bible says that Jesus was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. And that's what John the Baptist said as he introduced Christ. And so, this is a prefigure. This is a shadow. This is a type of things that was to come. But in the immediate context here, we find that Abraham is about to sacrifice his son. And instead, God says, sacrifice this ram instead. And I love this, what he says next. From now on, we will call this place the Lord will provide. Oh, you gotta love this. Oh, I'm gonna get into this. This is the, he says, from now on, we will call this place the Lord will provide. In that moment, he didn't provide money. It wasn't finances. It wasn't capital. It wasn't resources. It wasn't. In this moment, he provided a means by which they could receive salvation. Because provision is so much bigger than money. And so I love here, he says, the Lord will provide. While we wait, what do we need to know? Very simply, even when you are at the point in which you are about to sacrifice, he said, the Lord will provide. We need to know that God will provide. And lastly, we need to know that just because God is silent doesn't mean that he's stopped. He hasn't stopped. I love the book of Esther and I love the book of the Song of Solomon. And part of the reason why I love those two books is because God is not mentioned anywhere. I know that sounds crazy. Like, but you love those books because God ain't mentioned? Yes. I love it because there's a lot of conversation that could be built around that idea. But I also love it because in the book of Esther, we see the deliverance of God's people. God's people are delivered. God raises up Esther to become a queen in order to rescue the people of God from a full-on massacre. They were literally going to massacre the Jewish nation. And because Esther was in power by the providence of God, she ended up becoming the influence by which the people of God dodged a bullet. We don't see the name of God anywhere, nowhere in the book. It would appear as if God then was silent. But just because you can't see his name and just because you can't hear his voice doesn't mean that he's not present. And just because he is silent doesn't mean that he stopped. Yeah, he's quiet, but God, what Lil Wayne say, real G's move in silence. What do you say? Like lasagna. Real G's move in silence like lasagna. Listen, God knows how to quietly do what he needs to do in your life. He doesn't have to be noisy about it. This is why the Bible says that he spoke with a still small voice. It could have been the lightning, the thunder. It could have been the wind. But the Bible says that in the very moment that Elijah thought it was the lightning, it was the thunder, it was the fire, it was the wind. God, the Bible says, nope. God spoke with a still small voice. Just because God feels far, just because God seems to be silent. Just because you can't see what he's doing doesn't mean that he's not moving. Doesn't mean he's not working. In fact, he's behind the scenes working on the heart of the kings. Woo! I want to say that to you, Apostle Sam. God is working on behalf of Story. I want to say this to you, Story Church. God is working on behalf of Story Church. He's working on behalf of Story Church. He's providing everything that we need according to his riches and glory. And just because you can't see it, just because it's seen, doesn't mean that he's not moving, that he's not working. He's behind the scenes working on the heart of the kings. Just because he's silent doesn't mean that he's stopped. I want to encourage you today, Story Church. If you are in between the moment in which you know God told you something, God told you start a business, God told you that you would find a spouse, you would find a partner, you would find a wife, you would find a husband. The moment in which God told you whatever the thing is that you would be in ministry, that you would be pastoring, the moment that God told you that you would get that degree, that you would be the biochemical engineer that you've always desired to be, and even though it's difficult, you're going to get there. The moment that God told you, the moment in which God told you, there is often, I know there's been a gap that has felt like a vacuum in a dark hole that sits between the time in which God told you and the time in which the provision for the thing that he's promised you will actually come to pass. But do not fret. Do not worry. Stand firm. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing your labor is not in vain. Be not weary in well-doing, knowing that in due season, in time, you will reap if you do not faint. Do not faint. And when you sit in the middle and when you stand in the tension, just wait. I love you, Story. I love you, Story. I'll be back. Love y'all. Peace.
How good is the Word? We pray that Word encourages you this week. If you want to learn more about Jesus, get connected with us, give to our ministry, or find out anything else that's going on in the life of Story Church, everything you're looking for and more is at storychurchatlanta.com. Have a blessed week.